Well, Rangoon, Yangon, is a, as it's now known, is you know, old British colonial city. It's as decrepit a city as I've ever seen. And partly the reason for that is that the government has created its new capital in the mysterious remote areas of at a place called Napador. So all the money has actually gone to build this strange new capital out there. People are poor. There's a sense, at the same time, there's incredible extremes of wealth. It's almost like the North Shore of Sydney in some places. At the same time, in other parts, it's people just sleeping on the streets and people in really bad shape. Yeah, we were there doing a film. We're involved in a film about the Myanmar Times newspaper and looking at that as a, using the journalists and the paper itself as a way to look inside Myanmar or Burma today.
So you were filming journalists in the run-up to the first election in 20 years. How were they reacting to that situation?
Well, there's a sort of a dichotomy, a polemical dichotomy that happens. You know, there's those outside the country who have described the elections as a complete and utter sham. It's interesting when you're inside the country, a lot of the expat journalists, but particularly the Myanmar or the Burmese journalists, are, I mean, they were very open to the idea of the election. They knew that it was incredibly compromised already and that the military had signed up 25%, at least 25% of the vote before they even started. They knew that the military was going to stay in control. But at the same time, there were young journalists there who'd never had the opportunity of voting in their lives. There were more. There were older journalists who hadn't voted for 20 years, and they weren't really interested in waiting another 20 years to get another crack at it. At the same time, they felt like there is going to be a transition to a something like a civilian-based government, and there will be a voice of opposition.
The Myanmar Times is not a government paper, but it is subject to government censorship. What did you observe about that?
Well, that's a fascinating process. I mean, we followed the censorship censorship process. Story, we'd see editorial conferences, we'd go out and follow the stories out to various candidates or locales. And because we were under the umbrella of the Myanmar Times, we were actually able to travel. We'd put our cameras in bags and jump into taxis and then take our cameras out when we were places. And sometimes we shot on the street. But generally, we were able to go here and there, right through to the lead up to the election and the election day itself. And then at the end of the day, it's a weekly at the moment, and they're wanting to become a daily, which would be a much harder thing to censor, of course. At the end of each period, they would, on a Friday night, they would submit their weekly paper to the censors, and we would see what they had written in there, and then back would come with these extraordinary red marks through the most sometimes controversial things, but also the most benign and inane things.
Like?
For some strange reason, censor.
Such as?
There was a photograph very close to the election, which, now that I think about it, I understand why they did do it, but it was a photograph of people coming out of election. They were military or police voting in advance. And it was two guys walking out of a voting booth, and that was on the front. They put that on the front page, and that night they put a big red marker through it and said, "You can't use that photograph. It's too controversial." Well, they didn't. They don't give reasons, but everybody's going like, "Why would they stop that photograph?" But then, actually, a little bit later, you understood why, because they rigged the election, and the advance votes were a huge part of how they rigged that.
Tell me more about that.
Well, advance, the USDP, the government party, the military party, the government workers would be, I guess, all over the country told that you need to vote USDP. And I guess their jobs and all that sort of thing would be in jeopardy if they didn't. And they made these people tick their ballot boxes for the USDP, and then later during the election period, the NDF, the National Democratic Force, which is sort of the breakaway from the Aung San Suu Kyi NLD party, because they'd boycotted the election, the NDF decided to take part in it. And they got a lot of popular support, particularly in the more educated areas like in Yangon and or in Rangoon and in Mandalay. And so various candidates were way in advance. And then overnight, it seemed, huge amounts of, or large bags of these advanced votes would swing in the back door, and the USDP party would candidate would get up and win.
So you say that some of the young journalists that you were filming didn't approve of Aung San Suu Kyi's call to boycott the election altogether. How did they react when they realised that the election had been rigged?
Well, they felt that this was the first opportunity in 20 years to vote. Many Burmese people wanted to vote. They felt like it was important that they were given an opportunity to vote for a democratic reform party. And that's why they didn't agree with Aung San Suu Kyi's boycott. But, and they also recognised that the whole thing had been set up anyway, and that this was a chance for a new start and the door opening a little bit on democracy. Well, therefore they wrote stories, and the official line of the paper was generally to support the vote. And then when they saw what happened afterwards, and it became pretty apparent pretty quickly. In fact, even on election day, they were quite gloomy, you know, the size of the turnout of the vote, the way everything felt like it was controlled. And then we waited about 2 or 3 days before we did any more interviews with them. And we went around vox pop them generally in the audience, in the office. And it was extraordinary, really, the reactions we got. I mean, they felt betrayed, and they were quite disillusioned. I mean, in other words, they had it sewn up. Why the hell did they have to go and do this, you know? And basically sell the people completely down the river by almost putting a nail in the coffin.
So do you think would they, for instance, have been among the crowds welcoming Aung San Suu Kyi back?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's not like they're against her. I think they felt that, you know, it just wasn't that the, you know, they'd often say, in fact, that the leaders of the NLD are sort of quite elderly, and they felt a little bit out of touch. And that there was a position of really high moral principle being taken here. And they were also sort of just taking the line from Aung San Suu Kyi rather than sort of debating it openly in a democratic way in their own party. They just sort of, they jumped the gun a little bit by announcing their boycott of the election even in advance of the, it wasn't clear whether Aung San Suu Kyi was going to be stopped from contesting in the election because of her supposed illegal position or as a convict under house arrest. They just assumed that was it, and then they leapt in and sort of said, okay, well, we're not contesting it because she's not allowed to stand. Well, with time, if they challenged and looked harder, they may have found that she was allowed to stand. And there was a certain amount of debate because she ended up on the election rolls, and she would have been allowed to vote if she'd wanted to. Anyway, I mean, I think they felt that the people should have been given an opportunity to vote, and if the NLD had been part of the election process, it would have given some focus and unity to the democratic voices and democratic parties, of which there are two or three, and probably would have, particularly in the cities, they believed there would have been a chance that something much more, a much stronger reaction against the military regime would have emerged.
What do you think will happen now? Do you think that Aung San Suu Kyi will remain free for any length of time?
Well, I certainly hope so, but I don't know. I mean, they're so impossible. It's hard to predict what they're going to do. I mean, I think that the outbreak of violence along the border in Thailand straight after the election was indicative, and that was an issue that goes right way back to do with the military trying to force those groups to become border guards. But certainly the election brought that into sort of high relief, and there was the outbreak of violence there. Recently, ethnic minorities, and there are about 10 or 11, have been talking about unifying. Well, they are quite heavily armed, even though there are some elements inside called the ceasefire groups. There are those who are not about ceasefire, but are about getting really quite active. And there is the potential for considerable mayhem, really.
Even if the election was a complete sham, could the transition in name to a civilian government make a difference in the long run?
I think so. And I think this, you know, there are some in the office who did talk about the potential for a positive result in some ways, and that being that the army seems to be so monolithic, but in fact, you know, there are many layers in it, and it's a very feudal thing, and there are, you know, like maybe a bunch of families, 20 families or whatever up the top that are controlling everything, but many of the children of those families and many other people from various layers inside the military have been educated overseas. They don't want all this going on. They want a new future. The fact is that the new government will stop that monolithic vertical structure and break it up. And the very groundswell of the whole basis of the society will change. It's happened in other countries like Indonesia and the Philippines, where there was a heavily dictatorial, authoritarian, monolithic sort of structure. Things changed eventually over a period of years. Things like people power rose up because that because people were able to get to a situation where they felt like they could get onto the streets and protest without getting shot.